Hey everyone, you're listening to Affirmative Reaction here on Sirius XM Progress Channel 127. I'm your host, Jorge Andres Olivares. Now, a couple months ago, I will say that I had an opportunity to watch a show from my good friend, Julie Pinheiro. Now, you've heard Julie on this program before, and Julie is somebody who I hold very near and dear to my heart for a variety of reasons, but we share something very much in common, which is this idea of loving with all that we have, but also being as I'm trying to think of the right way to describe this, just being so fully committed to what we have an opportunity to do in this world. And Julie has a mission that I'm very excited to have her get her to talk about this with you, which is this show that I had a chance to watch a couple months ago is called De Lejos. Now there's a special meaning for what De Lejos is, what it stands for. But I can tell you that in the course of this show, which each of you will have an opportunity to get tickets to be able to watch the show, but it's an exploration of a variety of different things that we as humans will have to deal with in the course of our lives, whether that is grief, whether that is love, whether that is happiness, and just awkward situations that a lot of us never thought we were ever going to find ourselves in. And I will tell you that I laughed incredibly hard, I cried incredibly hard, and just found all sorts of reasons to understand why this is a necessary piece of, I don't necessarily want to say entertainment, because it is entertainment, but it's a piece of theater that I think is very much necessary in this particular moment. So I'm excited to welcome Julie to the program to talk about De Lejos, to talk about the importance of doing a piece like this in this particular moment, but also the reason behind this piece and the person behind this piece that it all sort of stems from. So very excited to welcome my friend, Julie Pinheiro, to Affirmative Reaction. Julie, thanks so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me. I'm so happy to be here.
I alluded a little bit to it about the fact that it's an interactive show, I should say, because of the moment that we're in. It is a fully digital show, De Lejos. But it all comes from a particular thing that we even talked about in Affirmative Reaction about a year ago. For those of you who might not remember, about a year ago, I specifically dedicated an episode of Affirmative Reaction to Jose Zambrano, who is a friend of ours that we've talked about in his story on our show. But Julie had a different relationship with Jose, and I want her to use this as an opportunity to talk about how Jose influenced De Lejos.
I mean, Jose is the lifeblood of De Lejos. It's the word De Lejos comes from the virtual reality game that he was designing. It was a passion project of his. He was designing it when we met, and he told me all about it on our first date. And it was inspired by his own experience of forced immigration from Venezuela. And the game is about connecting to something that you love from afar. And, you know, I started writing this piece before the pandemic hit. And it was, you know, these themes that you're talking about that they relate to in what we go through in life. You know, the major message behind this is, you know, how do we connect to something that we love from afar? How do we maintain connection with something despite the fact that we're distant from it? And so that was a theme that he was exploring, and just a few short months into our relationship, he passed away, and he left just, at least for me, you know, I was incredibly inspired by this journey that he had already started paving, which is, you know, how do you find a path to hope in the face of loss? And that was a journey that, you know, was inspired by, again, his experience of forced immigration from Venezuela. But all of a sudden, for me, as somebody who was painting this huge future with him, and then faced with his loss, it all of a sudden became this question that I needed to answer. How do I find not only hope in the face of this loss, but connection over distance, over this distance that all of a sudden was put in between myself and Jose, and between Jose and everyone that he loved. And then the pandemic hit, and I found myself writing this story about forced separation while quarantining in my basement, you know, while not being able to see anybody that I actually love, and except for the people that I, you know, my family and the people that I was, the three people I was seeing, I do love them. I was dealing with the grief of having lost Jose in this moment where all of a sudden the whole world was grieving in this way over the pandemic and over the people that we've lost in this moment. And so his, you know, this is all his journey to overcoming, you know, his journey to finding how we overcome forced separation. It became all the more, you know, I was finding all of these layers to it that I hadn't considered before, which is, you know, how do we connect to someone we love from afar? How do we connect to home from afar? And then more largely, how do we connect to this idea of hope when we're faced with disaster?
I should note, because I didn't get a chance to do it at the beginning of our conversation, that Julie is a performer. She is a writer. She's a musician. She is a comedian. So working within the arts is very much natural to Julie. And so this idea of De Lejos becoming the show that it is, which is a 2-hour interactive show, it's all a part of the artistic journey that Julie has already been on for quite some time, granted now geared towards something that's incredibly personal. But let's talk about [S2] Yes. [S1] Sort of the structure of De Lejos for people who want a chance to be able to tune in to see the performance, [S2]
Yeah. [S1]
Because it very much is a performance.
Yeah, so there, you know, the structure of the show is very much the, it's very personal. So there's a lot of different elements that play out over the course of the 2 hours. It takes place me talking to a laptop screen. You know, it's as if you're in a Zoom meeting with me, as if we're catching up, but I'm telling you a story. That is the major structure of it. But then the other elements that come and play into it are live music. It's me sitting before the laptop. I have my electric guitar. And the reason that I included live music is because Jose and I were starting a band together. And so in that way, me playing live music and playing one of our songs that we had together as our band is a way of me keeping good on this promise that we had made to start a band. And then there's also, I do stand up in the show. I'm a stand-up comedian, and that was actually like the first night that we ever met. He just showed up at one of my shows and I bombed on stage. I did very poorly. And, you know, comedy was something that we were looking to pursue together as well, because like I mentioned, he's a virtual reality video game designer. And so all of these other art forms fall under the umbrella of that. We were talking about VR comedy together and what that would look like, and kind of painting this future of doing those things together. And then there's stand-up comedy, and then the other element that weaves into this is like a DIY virtual reality experience, which is complete with like your own at-home headsets and a demo on how to use them. Spoiler, it's not actually a headset. You just close your eyes. But it's supposed to be very immersive. And you know, the VR is really to explore how the feeling of grief in many ways feels like this alternate reality. For me, you know, the early days, the early weeks of grief, I couldn't tell what was real and what was not. And I had all of these emotions that were playing out, these emotions that feel like they are the opposite of another, you know, tragedy and humor were playing out at the same time. And so in many ways, the VR element kind of creates this texture of another world that you're coming in and out of. And more technically in the show, it's used to explore like the actual terrain of the video game that he was designing. I'm trying to think if there are other elements. So those are the elements. And then the through line, that's it. The through line throughout the whole thing is, you know, me telling you this story just directly to you. And the format is that it's an intimate performance. So there's, you know, any between 10 and 30 people in the Zoom room. Everybody has their cameras on, and you guys are all watching this show together. And we switch between, you know, the presentation mode, which has me up in the little corner, and we run photos and videos. And then we also go back to the regular format of me being full screen. And in that way, you know, we've utilized camera angles. That's what it feels like. And that's kind of how I wrote it, is like, you know, in some moments I'm up in the corner and I'm little. And at one point I even scream, get me out of this corner. And that kind of is used to resemble this loss of control when you're put in the corner and all of a sudden all these things are playing out, and control is a big theme in this piece as well. And then sometimes I'm full screen and I feel, you know, these are all, Zoom is so kind of analog in the way that it's digital, if that makes sense. Like, it's so, we know it so well, and it's so almost like, it's so almost not smooth in the way that we, that you can pull things off, that we really wanted to work within it and kind of reimagine what all of these presentation tools can do in the theme of, in the vein of theater.
It's kind of weird to understand. So Jose passed away towards the end of 2019. And so yeah, the idea of what would normally be a grieving period would include the beginning of last year and pretty much most of last year. I mean, obviously grieving never stops. There's just gradations of it that we are able to deal with in the particular moments that we do. But it seems somewhat like, it makes sense that the grieving process that has turned into the Lejos is happening in the site or at the site of where 2020 has brought us. And so it only makes sense, the Zoom room.
Yeah.
But it only makes sense that the grief manifests itself into these areas, because that's the area you were already in. It's the area, you know, the people from Nuevo says were already going to be in.
I mean, this site, Zoom, is where we go to imperfectly connect with each other. Like, nobody will tell you that they love Zoom chatting with their sister for 3 hours, you know, like that's that's not a great experience, but it's what you have. Mm-hmm. And in many ways, you know, the connection that I have felt with him over this grief experience is is by no means how I would like to be connected with him. You know, I want him to be experiencing this moment. I want him to, you know, have his own projects. I want him to be living in flesh in this world. I want him to be, you know, I think all the time about what he would think of this pandemic. I want him to be here. I want him to have his life back. But the way that I've found to connect with him, you know, it's imperfect in that way, but it is still connection. And you know, flow is a concept that I explore throughout the piece, but it's connecting, you know, without giving too much away, but like, I connect to him through flow. And again, it's imperfect, but it is what it is. And it's how, it's the only tool that grief has lent me to be able to connect with him, much like in this moment of separation, all we have is Zoom.
Yeah. I want to remind our listeners, you are listening to Affirmative Reaction. I'm talking to my good friend, Julie Piñero, who is performing her one-woman show, essentially called De Lejos. You are able to get tickets, and Julie will get a chance to tell you how to do that at the end of our conversation, because I highly recommend just setting aside a few moments in one of your upcoming weekends to be able to watch this show. Because as I mentioned, you don't need to particularly know the two people at the center of this story to feel like this story pertains to you. Because all of us have had this idea of, whether it's even the same person or not, this idea of falling in love, coming up with dreams with that person, and then just dealing with the ideas that sometimes it just doesn't pan out the way that you always wanted it to pan out to begin with. I want to talk about this idea. So I had a chance to watch it very early on, before I believe it was made more public to people to be able to tune in. Would you say it's just as difficult to perform now as it was then? Or is there a bit of separation you've kind of have had to do in order to make the show possible?
Yeah, this is a really interesting question because I've been thinking about it a lot lately. So I did my first month of shows, and you had seen it just before that first month. And that was around the 1 year mark of losing Jose. And then I was thrust into this family emergency for 2 months where I was knee deep in another disaster. And I had no even capacity to think about this piece, to think about how I was relating to my grief, to even process what was going on in the moment. I was just in full crisis mode. And that's when I realized how much it pained me to be away from this piece. You know, this piece is hard for me to perform because it goes back and it relives the hard moments of that trauma of losing him. It lands on a hopeful point. And when I say hopeful, I don't mean like generally hopeful, like hopeful for me. It lands on the meaning of why he was brought into my life and what his legacy means to me and what he has to say with this game. That's where the piece lands on. And for that reason, even when rehearsing it, I have to do it through to the end. Because if I stop in the middle and I stop at the point where it's the most traumatic, it is too painful to go on with my night. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
Performing the piece is painful. But what I realized over the course of this, of, you know, going through a family emergency, smack in the middle of when I was supposed to be doing this run of shows, is that not doing this piece is more painful than doing it. And I think part of it is just that, like, there is a bit, I go through it in the piece. I go through, you know, those moments in the hospital and the moment we lost him and the moment that I found out, like all of that, I go through it. But one of the big lessons of this piece is that there is something there is meaning and there's beauty to take from tragedy and from loss. And so if I can follow that thread every time I do the piece until the end, if I can hold on every time I do the piece until the end, where that meaning and where that beauty sprouts like a freaking flower, you know, it comes out at the end, then I've made my way through the end of the journey where I need to be and where I think he wanted us all to be at the end of playing his game, which is this moment of connection and this moment of hope. Yeah, it's hard for me to do, which is why it's hard for me to even invite people to. It's hard for me, we just made a website for it. And like, that's hard too. It's hard for me to put this in the format of, I like how you called it not quite entertainment, because it isn't. I mean, I'm not performing to entertain you. I'm performing because I'm carrying out what I believe is my mission, which is to spread this message of hope that I think he was onto before any of us knew about this reality of forced separation that we were all going to have to live with. And that's forced separation from him, forced separation from each other in this pandemic, forced separation from a day of hope in the midst of constant chaos and destruction. Like, he was paving a path to hope in the midst of disaster. And that's why I feel so strongly about sharing this, despite the fact that it's hard.
There are a lot of things that are revealed in the course of De Lejos that you had privately told me before. Things that you just realize, like, wow, when you think about the magic of the universe and you think about just the unspoken things that just happen that have no sorts of explanation whatsoever as to why they're physically there. But now that you know that they're there, you think, of course, this makes all the sense. This is a perfect revelation that makes things maybe a little bit easier. When you think about those things, when you think about these signs, are you more comforted now? Are you, especially because you speak about these signs on a regular basis when performing the show? Do you like, are you reminded that they're signs for you to take with you?
Absolutely. And you know, this piece, you enter the piece, my first words in the piece essentially bring you to the precipice of disaster, bring you to this moment where you feel like you're about to enter into chaos. But, you know, and this is where the word sapiroco comes in. It's a word that, there's a theme in this piece of words that we bring from Latin America that kind of have this nebulous meaning. So sapiroco is like a word from Venezuela, from the DR, from Honduras, it's from like the South, where, you know, it represents, it's a word with two opposite meanings. You can use it in a situation where there's chaos and destruction, or, you know, where you, let's say you enter a party and it's just like super, super chaotic, like es un sapiroco or something like that. And then you can also use it in an example of when something is beautiful and thriving and when there's order and meaning. And so the theme that is constantly explored through this piece is the duality of these two opposing things happening at the same time and how they're connected. Again, this piece is about connection in infinite ways, but, you know, destruction and creation are the same thing. Tragedy and humor are the same thing. They all exist alongside each other, and chaos and meaning are very much a part of that. And so when you think about the signs that you get, you know, and signs, for somebody who hasn't seen the show, signs kind of refer to these moments of connection where, you know, for me, right after Jose died, I felt like I was getting signs from him in these ways that we were connecting. And those kind of, you know, it sets out to explore this feeling of like when you are at this moment of the least possible amount of hope, when you're at the precipice of disaster, you can get these signs that even though you can't prove them, they make you feel hope. And so that's something that even moving forward, you know, my grief has really evolved a lot over the last year. And now I'm standing in a very different place than I was, you know, a month after we lost him. But that this idea that like at this moment where things have become the worst they could possibly become, this moment where you have lost something that you didn't know you could lose, you also stand to gain the most that you could ever gain, which is a path to hope. And especially a path to hope when there's no, when, you know, before you thought there wasn't hope.
Yeah. Well, I can't recommend this show enough to our listeners. And so I want to give Julie an opportunity to let people know how they can tune into the show, how they can be able to support the show in the coming weeks. So how can people get a chance to do that?
So I'm doing a show tonight at 7 p.m. All the information is on delejos.net or the Eventbrite link, which has free tickets. I'm doing a show tonight at 7 p.m. So it's the 16th of January. And then I'm doing a total of four performances in the next upcoming 3 weeks. So go to the website, sign up for a free ticket. If any of the dates are sold out, there's a waiting list that we're constantly letting people in off of. So put your name on the waiting list and tell your friends.
Well, I'm so grateful to you to talk about this project here with me and just for including me in this journey that you've been on. I'm so grateful to you, Julie.
Thank you, Jorge. I appreciate you.